Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
This morning's subject is a very relevant one for us all the time. We're going to talk about getting rid of your sin. That's a good subject, don't you think? Yes, it is. In the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, Paul writes both of those, and he writes very similar verses in each one. So I want us to look at each one of them because what they have to say is very relevant to what I want to talk about this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins, you used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince and power of the air. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of all our evil nature. Now notice, we were born with an evil nature. Did you know that? If you didn't, you do now. And we were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you've been saved. In other words, the understanding of you and I do not earn salvation. It is a gift of God, isn't it? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross of Christ. Now, you and I are on our journey. In just a couple weeks, it's hard to believe that Easter's going to be here, isn't it? I mean, after all, it's just hard to believe this is the second day of spring. Boy, could have surprised me. But you and I understand what this season is about. It's about the cross and what Christ has done and what He's provided. And basically, it all deals with one issue, sin. We are sinners. You should feel right at home today. You're sitting with a bunch of sinners. In fact, it's so prevalent. There's one of my favorite stories. It's a baseball story. It's by a man by the name, I don't know if you know him or not, Gil Hodges. He's a great player, and he managed the Washington Senators at one time. And he discovered that four of his players had broken curfew. That they'd been out the night before and had just blatantly avoided curfew. So immediately, he calls a team meeting that day. And he says, look, guys, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to call you out. I don't want to have to deal with it like that. But you all know the rules, and you know the fine. The fine is, if you break curfew, it's going to cost you $100. And so I'm going to put a cigar box, he said, on my desk. And before 3 o'clock this afternoon, I expect the four of you to put your $100 in. Well, they went back to the cigar box a little after 3 and found $700 there. Sin was a little more prevalent than he thought and that he knew. And sin has been a problem since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve sinned. And that sin caused them to run from God when God came to meet with them in the cool of the evening. Sin was David's problem when he committed adultery. And David said these words, "My bones have wasted away when I hid my sin." Sin was the problem that Isaiah recognized when there he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, Isaiah cried out. He says, "Woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I am now in the presence of the living God." When the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus, they wanted Him to issue her judgment. The law said she should be stoned. They ask Him, what should He do? And He turns and looks at the crowd and He says, you know, I'll tell you what. Let's let the first person who's without sin cast the first stone. And they all had to drop their stones and walk away, didn't they? Sin is very real. sin is a part of our lives. Sin haunts the human race. But God has a way for us to get rid of sin. Now, before we talk about that, let me talk to you for just a little bit about how people try to resolve their sin, how we try to take it into our own hands and deal with it in our way rather than God's way. Here's how we try to resolve sin every now and then. First of all, some people try to rationalize their sin. In other words, they say, it's no big deal. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't have a problem with this. Well, it's just the way I am, and you just need to accept me for who I am. And they try to rationalize it all the way. It's amazing what we'll do. There was a newspaper story several years ago about a man who was arrested for stealing a car parked at a cemetery. And when he appeared before the judge, he said, since the car was parked at the cemetery, I assume the driver was dead. We rationalize our sin. And you've heard many of these before, but let me just humor me for a moment, will you? There's insurance companies. Here are the best rationalization. And here are some explanations that people have given when following accident reports. Coming home, I drove to the wrong house and collided with a tree I didn't have. Or I had a collision with a stationary truck coming the wrong way. Or I pulled from the shoulder of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and drove into the ditch. I'm not going to comment on that one. In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. I told the police that I was not injured, but on removing my hat, I discovered I had a fractured skull. The indirect cause of my accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. You know, now before we laugh too much at all of these, have you ever tried to rationalize your sin? You ever tried to say, well, you know, it's just different? I wonder what our excuses sound like to God sometimes. Don't you think sometimes we're talking to him, he's up there going, you got to be kidding me. You're going to try to get by with that? That's your reason? So people try to rationalize their sin in order to deal with it. The second way that people try to resolve sin is they try to reject their sin. They try to pretend like it really wasn't sin and it didn't happen. They try to deny it. There's a perfect example of this in the Old Testament. Israel was at war with another nation, and King Saul, who was the leader of the army, was instructed by Samuel the prophet to go and destroy everything. Samuel was very clear on his instructions to Saul. Samuel said, look, here's what God wants you to do. You don't take any hostages, you kill everybody. You kill all the animals, you level the place. You take no prisoners, you just wipe everything out. But Saul looked at the sheep and he looked at the cattle and he kind of thought, you know what, those are worth a lot of money and it probably can't hurt. And so he took all of them and kept them. He forgot, however, that God sees everything and also knows the motives behind it. And so God sends Samuel back to Saul to confront him. And he says, you know, Saul, you know, what's going on here? And Saul goes, oh, Samuel, good to see you. Everything's going great. I did exactly what God said to do. And Samuel goes, Saul, pardon me for a moment and correct me if I'm wrong, but don't I hear some sheep and some cattle back there? Where did those come from? And Saul goes, well, yeah, I did take some. I took some of those to use as a sacrifice to God. And Samuel utters these classic words, to obey is better than sacrifice. Isn't it amazing how we have the capacity to reject sin when the evidence right before us is undeniable? Well, it's really not what it appears. It's not what you think. It's really not that way. We just try to reject it. A third way that we try to resolve sin is we try to run from sin. We try to run from sin. Over the weekend, bars were filled with people trying to run from their sin. Addicts took their medicine, trying to run from their sin. Trying to make an escape. Trying to get away from all that was going on. Trying to deal with the guilt. Trying to handle life. Looking for a way out. A biblical example of this is a guy by the name of Jonah. God tells Jonah, here's what I want you to do. Jonah says, no. Starts going another direction. Tries to get out of town. Tries to move away from it. And you know the story. He gets on a boat, goes the opposite direction. Storm comes up. Jonah says, it's me. Throw me over. Whale swallows him up. You see, the problem with running from your sin, it always follows you. I can't tell you over the years how many people I've talked to have stories went something like this. Well, you know, things are just so difficult here and now, and there's so many messes. I think what I'll do is just go ahead and move to Kentucky. Sorry, Pastor Mark. You know, let me get out of town. Let me move away from it all. Maybe I can start over. The only problem is this. It's you. And wherever you go, there it is. Run from it all you want, but your sin follows you wherever you go, doesn't it? We try to run, but you can't hide. A fourth way we try to deal with sin is we just remain in it. We just remain in it. I want to keep living the lifestyle. I want to do what I want. I want to have the attitude that I've got. I don't want to, here it is, I don't want to change. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think I'm doing okay with it. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't see anything wrong. And the problem is, as you do that, you beat yourself up all the time. And so I don't really want to make the changes. I don't really want to have to address this. I don't really want to have to make changes in my life to be what I know I should be, but I'm good the way I am. I really want this life. You know, it's kind of like the guy that wrote a letter once to the IRS. He couldn't sleep at night, and so he wrote this letter. He says, I've cheated on my income taxes for the past 7 years. And tonight, my conscience is troubling me so bad, it's to the point I can't sleep. So I've enclosed a $100 bill as my way of saying I'm sorry. If I find I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. That's us, isn't it? I don't really want to change. I don't want to have to admit guilt. I don't want to say I'm sinning. I'll just try to, you know, I don't want to move. As long as I can sleep, I'll be okay. As long as I can have what I want, I'll be all right. Now, what do all four of these ways of trying to resolve sin have in common? Here it is. None of them work. None of them work. Some of you have been trying to deal with sin for a long time. Some with not maybe as long. You've tried to rationalize it. You've tried to say, well, it's not a big deal and I'll be okay. And you just don't understand the circumstances I'm up against. You don't know the pressure that I'm facing. You just don't know. Or you've tried to just say, well, it's not, I'm a good person. You know, I'll do what's right. The sin really isn't there. I did it for good reasons. Or we try to run away. I know, I'll just go someplace and try and start over. I'll just leave the situation, circumstance, but the problem is it keeps coming. Or the worst thing is, I'm good. I don't want to change. I don't see a problem. I'll be all right. None of them work. You say, well, Pastor, this isn't too much of a positive sermon this morning. Yes, it is. Because I've got great news for you today. God has a way of getting rid of your sin. God has a way that you can deal with the sin in your life. Now, I want you to notice something. We're calling it sin. We're not calling it a mistake. We're not calling it a bad choice. We're not calling it an unfortunate circumstance. It's sin. And all of us sin. All of us relate to it. In fact, I almost would guarantee you this. Every person in this room has tried all four of these in one degree or another. True? You're afraid to say anything because somebody will think you're a sinner. Well, let me remove the thing. We already think that. There's no problem here. We've all tried them, haven't we? They don't work. And so how do we deal with this? How do we handle this? How can I live guilt-free? How can I know my sin is taken care of? Let me give you three ways this morning of how God will remove your sin. Three ways. Number one, Jesus removes our sin through his forgiveness. Through his forgiveness. Here's one thing you have to know. God isn't interested in beating you up. God wants to forgive you. Now, don't ever think that it's easy for God to remove your sin. Don't ever think that it wasn't a great price that was paid for God to be able to forgive you. We live in a moral universe. In other words, the soul that sins will die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, what? Judgment. God will not just wink at sin. God will not just tolerate sin. And so it costs God a lot to pay the price for our sin. And that's what he did on the cross. He is 100% sinless. And yet the Bible teaches the wages of sin is death. He never sinned. Satan killed an innocent man. And so he paid the price for our sin, and because of that, he is able to forgive us our sins. Look at the text in Colossians. It's what we're going to refer back to. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins. In other words, you didn't have life. You were doomed. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. Boy, your excitement's overwhelming. Now, if you want forgiveness, you have to ask for it. The Bible says if we confess, he'll forgive. I have to be willing to admit it's sin. I have to be willing to admit I have sinned. I've done something that I know is displeasing to God. It's wrong. It's sin. God, will you forgive me? What's the reply? Yes. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. You don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to convince him. Well, Pastor, I don't understand this because I've asked God to forgive me my sin, and yet I'm still facing some problems. Now, understand something. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And just because God's forgiven you doesn't mean you don't have to suffer the consequences of some of your actions. Right? Here's the thing. Don't complicate your actions. Don't make them worse. God says, I'll forgive you. I'll declare you not guilty. I'm more than willing to forgive you of what you've done. And God says, if you'll ask me, I'll forgive you of all your sin. 1 John 2:12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. In other words, I'm not guilty. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. That means that one day when I stand before a just God, a God who will suffer, right? You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. If people suffer consequences, I got some people that I know, friends that I know, they're not Christians, and yet they seem to be getting by okay. They might for now, but one day they're going to have to stand before God. One day they're going to have to give an account. And one day a person without God will stand before God and suffer the consequences of their sin. But as a Christian who's been forgiven, I will stand before God and God will look at me and say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Folks, that's great news. We serve a God who wants to remove all your sin and all your guilt because he is willing to forgive you. You say, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how bad it is. It doesn't matter. If you're saying that, you don't understand how great a price he paid for you on the cross. You don't understand what he's done for you so that you could be forgiven. And so you and I can deal with sin by coming to a place where we're willing to ask God, forgive me, I'm sorry. Now, please understand something. You can't play God. In other words, here's what I mean. You say you're sorry, thinking you could get out of it, and then you go ahead and live like however you want. God knows better than that, doesn't he? The forgiveness says, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, and then, God, now I want to live and obey you and do what's right. I don't get to say, God, I'm sorry, and then go do whatever I want. So God says, look, I want to deal with your sin. I want to help you with it. Can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You don't need to remain in it. You don't need to try to make excuses for it. You come to me and ask me, and I'll forgive you. We serve a forgiving God. He forgives all of our sins. All of our sins. Wow. Now, as great as that is, it gets even better. It gets even better. Because secondly, God says, I want to remove your guilt. I want to remove your sin through my forgetfulness. So God says this, not only will I forgive you, I'll forget about it. I'll forget about it. You see, once we ask for forgiveness, it doesn't end there. God doesn't look at you this morning as a Christian who's been forgiven, and he doesn't see you as a series of failures. God is not beating you up because of your past. Now, we choose to beat ourselves up for our past. Why is that? Because as much as God can forget, we can't. We can't. And the enemy knows that, doesn't he? And the enemy plays in our mind and causes us to rehearse all the dumb things we've done in our life. All the sins that we've committed. How could I do that? What was I thinking? What went on here? Why? Oh, that's so horrible. I hope nobody finds that out. Oh, I don't want to know. Oh, and we play that whole scenario on the enemy when he does that. He has us right where he wants us because he knows that as long as we keep trying to feel guilty and keep trying to pay for what we've done, our relationship will suffer with other people and with God. So God isn't here reminding you of your past. Unfortunately, we allow the past to control our future. But the Bible says that anyone who's in Christ is a brand new creature. The old is gone. Everything becomes brand new. And God says, I want to forget it. Look at the text again in Colossians chapter 2. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. Picture it like this. Let's say, for instance, that Satan and God were having a conversation, and I was standing there, and Satan's looking at me and saying, you're guilty. Look at all they've done. Look at their past, and begins to rehearse everything. God says, stop for a moment. Let me go over to the file and pull his out. He goes over under the G's and finds the G's. Goss Philip, he pulls it out, and he turns to Satan and says, oh, hold it, hold it. There's nothing in this file. It's empty. It's gone. It's forgotten. There's no, it doesn't list anymore. Oh, wouldn't that be? Don't you wish we could forget it? God does. As far as the east is from the west, as deep as the sea, our sins are gone. Jeremiah the prophet wrote these great words, God speaking in Jeremiah 31:34. I will forgive their wickedness and never again remember their sins. Never again remember their sins. When God looks at you, he sees a person that has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and your sins are all eliminated and gone. Your past is gone. Well, Pastor, if that's the way it is, then why am I struggling with this? And I got to do that. And every day I look at this and I'm reminded of what I've done. Yes, you might have to deal with some of that, but you also need to remind yourself at the same time, yes, that is there, but God has forgiven me. And it's over with and dealt with, and I get to start new, and God will help me, and God will work with me, and God will provide for me, and God will help me go on in the days ahead, and I can trust in Him. Come on. You and I have to understand, when it comes to sins that have been forgiven, God forgets. God forgets. You and I can't. But He can. He can. Now, one more thing. He removes our sin through His faithfulness. Through His faithfulness. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand how many times I've been back to God. You don't understand how many times it seems like every day I'm going back having to repent of something. Well, you know what? We serve a faithful God. God never gets tired of you coming to Him and asking Him to forgive. He looks at a heart. He knows. Look at our text again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He took it, the sin, destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross of Christ. His victory was once and for all. He is a faithful God. He doesn't have to pay anymore. He has paid it all. In 1 John 1:9, I've already referred to it a little. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the price for our sins once and for all. Our guilt, our shame, our sin was laid upon Him and nailed at the cross. And Jesus said, not only will I forgive you, not only will I forget it, but I will faithfully minister to you and keep on loving you and forgiving you all throughout the course of your lifetime. Wow. Wow. And Jesus took the blame for all of it. Now, let me give you a little confession. I know this will shock some of you. When I was younger, I wasn't a big rebel. I was a little ornery. Okay, I sinned. Okay, let's get over with it, huh? Now, some of you will relate to this, and I'd like to think I'm not the only one here in the room. But if you'll remember, when you were in school, let's say grade school, let's say fourth or fifth grade, and let's say something happened that a few of you did in school, and you were the only one who got caught. Oh, good. I'm not alone then, am I? And if you remember, the teacher would set you down and say, okay, now we know you're not the only one who did this. Tell us who else did this. And you being afraid of getting beat up by other people decided, no, I'm not going to tell on anybody. And since you didn't, then the teacher said, well, then we'll just punish you for all of them. And so you took the blame. On the cross, Jesus Christ took the blame for you. He said, I don't need to tell on everybody else. I will take the punishment for all. And that punishment will be able to be cover all from this point on who have ever lived on the planet. And it is wide enough and great enough to cover all of that. And Jesus took the blame. He took the punishment. There is no use for us pretending and us thinking we're not sinners. We are. There's no use in us trying to deal with our sin in a way that will not work. It will just make things worse, won't it? We'll feel guilty. We'll have to deal with it and live with it. We just make complicated. We're sinners. But that sin has been taken away. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He removed our sins once and for all. And when Jesus hung on that cross, He uttered these great words, "It is finished." It's done. The price has been paid. It's covered. I've done the work. And from that day to now, Jesus Christ has faithfully retained the right to remove sin. Jesus doesn't want you to live with sin. He doesn't want you to have to carry the weight of sin. He doesn't want you to have to deal with the guilt of sin. And you know it's there. The question is simply this morning. How are you choosing to handle your sin? You trying to run away from it? Beating yourself up with it? You trying just to kind of, you don't understand. You don't know what's going on. I've been through a hard time. And you rationalize it. Or it really isn't sin, Pastor. I'm a good person. Are you willing to come to a place where you're willing to say, God, you know what? I'm a sinner. I have this nature within me. And I've sinned against you. I've disappointed you. I've disobeyed you. I've done what I wanted. And I know it. God, will you forgive me? God says, I'll do better than that. I'll forgive you, and I'll forget it. I'll forget it. Because I died for you, and my love for you and my power for you will faithfully be administered throughout your entire life. And you and I get to live a life that is free from the guilt of sin. How are you handling your sin this morning? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. We're not going to question that. But you know right now there's some things in your life that are wrong. And you've been trying to think of ways that you can deal with this. And you've been trying to plot out scenarios. Or you've been living with things. And you know you're not where God wants you to be. And you know what you need to do is step forward and say, God, you know what? I know that what I've been doing, how I've been living. I know that my attitude, I know the way I've been thinking. I know those things. God, it's sin. I'm sorry. And God says, good. Let's forget it. I forgive you. We serve a forgiving God who forgets all of our sin and who faithfully ministers to us day after day. What a great way to live. Now, knowing that, why would you choose to deal with your sin any other way? Your call today, your choice.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.